Welcome everybody to this teleclass, which is From Goals to Action. So I'm going to be talking about all the things that we need to do with our goals to turn them into action so that we're not stuck hanging around for another 12 months thinking about why we didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. I'm Angela Ainoff, and this is one of the teleclasses for the Professional Organisers Edge. And welcome to the people who are on the call with me live and the people who listen afterwards. I will be sharing some code words as usual so that people who would like to get a certificate of participation can do so, and they can use that towards their APO accreditation, which is very important, and I think it's very useful in your business to have that accreditation behind you as soon as possible. Now, if you need to at any point, feel free to mute yourself. Star 6 is the way to do that on your phone. If you want to unmute, it's the same again, star 6. And we will have time for Q&A at the end. Because this is a step-by-step process, I'm going to be sharing with you, sometimes perhaps the questions you want to ask are going to be answered in one of the following steps. But write them down along with your code words. Write down your questions so we can have a good long chat at the end, and I'll stick around as long as you need me to. So why are we looking at turning goals into action? Well, timing-wise, this class comes after the Organising Professionals Conference, and I'm sure if you attended that, you will have come away with a big long list of things that you wanted to achieve. And sometimes 12 months later, when you go to the next conference, you can find that list and wonder, where did the time go? The other reason is that traditionally, of course, people tend to think about their goals at the start of the year or when they're turning a specific age or something like that. But, you know, there's no reason why we can't stop what we're doing in the middle of the year and start thinking about meeting goals. And especially with our clients, we want to be able to do that as well. Often, right from the start, we want to get them taking some action that's different to what's happened before, and that's the thing that actually, you know, make some change happen. So I have had some success in the last 2 years, especially with a new process that I've started following. And it's a bit of a mashup between a few different people's styles. You know, lots of people teach about goal setting and goal achieving. A couple of the people that I particularly follow with regard to goals are Michael Hyatt and Julie Morgenstern and a few other, you know, people who have various different styles. So I'm going to share my step-by-step process, which, as I said, is a bit of a mashup of the different styles that I've learned over the years. And I'll share some tools that you can use to make all of this easier and the traps to avoid, as well as the key things to creating success, because it is great to have goals, and usually setting your goals is the easiest part. Following through and turning those goals into success and some action afterwards is the tough part. Before I start on step one, I want to share that there are two different kinds of goals. There's the habit goal and the life goal. So the habit goal is the one where you might say, from now on I want to, you know, I want to spend 10 minutes a day meditating. That's an ongoing habit goal. You're wanting to change a habit of not meditating daily into a daily habit. And that's great. There's no reason you can't set that kind of a goal. In fact, of the 10 goals I set for myself this year, about half were habit goals. The problem can be that it's hard to sort of go, well, I'm done now, and now I can celebrate because I've mastered that. It's really a matter of noticing your own behaviour and go, yeah, I'm now doing that without even thinking. So anyway, that's one kind of goal. The other kind of goal, of course, is the life goal, the one where you say, I want to write a book. I want to, climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Those kinds of life goals, and they've got their own traps, I guess, which they're very easy to identify when they're achieved and to celebrate, but they're a bit difficult to know, well, how do you get from A, not knowing anything about climbing a mountain, to the end of being on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. So those are things to keep in mind when you're setting your goals. Is it a life goal or is it a habit goal? And how are you going to treat them differently? And the other thing to mention is to really limit the amount of goals that you're setting yourself. It can be really tempting when you're feeling bright, fresh, enthusiastic to set a whole heap of goals. And, of course, the danger is that your focus gets split, your attention, you can't dedicate yourself to lots and lots of goals on a regular basis. So I like to say between 1 and 10 goals is the limit. So absolutely no more than 10. And there's no reason why if you've got a list of 10 goals and you achieve 2 of them, you can add 2 more then. But I would suggest stick to a limit of 10. And why one goal? Well, this is really when we're working with a client, perhaps, and in the process of creating change for them, you really don't want to overwhelm them. So if their goal can be just to do one thing differently, that's going to be success, if they can make one thing different. So there's a little overview of some things to look out for as we get into this. And I'll tell you the first code word now. And you'll notice a theme. There's usually a theme when I give these code words. Today's first code word is football. They kick goals in football. Okay. So step one of turning goals into action is to check your beliefs. Now, this is way before you've even started to think about what your new goals might be. And this is something to check with your client as well. Check their belief. Sometimes it's our beliefs that are stopping us from achieving. So you might have had some failure or non-success at past goals or past attempts. And so what might be stopping you? It's usually your thoughts around that. For instance, if, the classic giving up smoking or something like that. It takes several attempts before you're ultimately successful. And just because you didn't succeed in the first 3 or 4 times doesn't mean you're going to fail on the 5th time. Anthony Robbins says, your future does not equal your past. So even though you've had an experience in the past, doesn't mean you're going to carry that into the future necessarily. And it's important when you're setting out on these goals to sort of head off any potential roadblocks right from the start. So if your thinking is telling you you're going to fail before you've even begun, you really need to address that first. So whatever that would take, whether that's maybe, meditating on it, thinking about it, trying to reframe your thinking on something, but identify what your limiting beliefs are about something, whether it's maybe a limiting belief around money, about whether money is easy or hard to come by, a limiting belief around whether you deserve success. Whatever you identify, then hold a mirror up to it and confront it and reframe it. And you can reframe it in a very simple way, and that is to just change your language around it. And changing your language will trigger some different thinking. It's just going to challenge how you think about it into the future. So adding a simple word like yet to a sentence might just help you see things differently. So if you, for instance, say, oh, I'm never going to be able to kick the smoking habit, maybe you want to change, I haven't been able to do it yet. Yet. And there's lots of possibility then open to you, and you've reframed the whole thing. The other thing is you don't need to have all your answers to start with. I know that when we're starting out, we organisers especially, we like to plan. So we want to know what are the steps that we need to take and what is the end result going to look like. And in truth, sometimes we don't know what it's going to look like. And sometimes we don't even know how we're going to get there. For instance, if you're going to set the goal of writing a book, I don't know what all the steps are, but I know that the first few steps and what they might be. So if you think about entering a tunnel, you're driving a car and you enter into a tunnel, you don't always see the end of the tunnel, but you have to trust that the road is going to get you there, and that there is an end to the tunnel, and that if you stick on this path, follow the speed limit, stick within the lines, that you will get to the end of the tunnel. So you're coming around the bend, you spot that pinprick of light, and you keep moving towards that. And as you get closer and closer, it becomes more obvious, it becomes bigger and brighter, and you can feel that classic saying, you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and eventually you emerge into the bright sunshine and it looks beautiful on the other side. That's what it's like with a goal, that you don't always see all the steps, all the twists and turns in the tunnel, but if you trust the process and just keep getting closer and closer and closer, you will eventually see your ultimate goal and get there. As I said, you don't need to know all the how-tos just yet. And it is just the first step that you need to know. The rest will just unfold as you trust in the process. And it's that comfort zone fear that stops us from taking the first step when we're not sure what it's going to lead to. So if you're in that spot of feeling fear about your leaving your comfort zone, I would suggest you find ways to stay comfortable while you're trying new things. Of course, you could always feel the fear and do it anyway, but I like comfort myself, and I like to find some familiarity as you're trying out these new things and so on. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. One of my goals this year has been to walk a minimum of 10,000 steps every day, and I actually don't like walking on my own. I quite like walking with my husband or anybody else, in company, but to walk just without purpose is not my thing. However, I have found a way to make it much more comfortable, and that is to listen to audiobooks while I'm walking. So this is a way that has kept me going and kept me motivated. Now, of course, I love to walk my steps, and I miss it when I don't do it. So find ways that will keep you comfortable while you are trying these new things. It doesn't always have to be scary. So step number two is to connect with your why. Now, you've probably heard this before, and it might sound a little, new age or something. But if you know why you are wanting to do something and it's not just a, oh, I should do such and such, I should lose weight because, you know, I really should. Everybody tells me I should. It's not going to keep you with sustained drive. It's not going to get you there in the long run. You need to tap into why you want to do this. Now, for me, for instance, the losing weight thing, it's not so I look good in a dress. It's not so I, you know, it's not, you know, it's not even for the improved blood pressure and physical aspects. It's so that I can be active in my old age and play with my granddaughter. Those are the whys for me. So what are your whys for whatever it is that you want to do? If it's a financial driver to feel freedom, to contribute to your family's income, whatever it is, it's got to be a powerful enough reason for you to get out of the bed in the morning when you're not feeling great, when you don't feel like, you know, picking up the phone and making a phone call that you know you have to make, or, you know, crawling under somebody's dirty desk or something like that. You've got to have a reason to get excited about achieving these goals. And if you can tap into it and remember it when times are tough, you will be half the way there. So hang on to that why. Write it down, and then there's other things you can do with that why as well. We'll talk about some a bit later. Step three is the bit that most people get right, and that is to write down your goals. This is the bit people get, you know, super excited about. They write them down. As I said before, we're going to select 1 to 10, no more than 10. And, of course, you probably heard about making them SMART goals, that specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, or some people say realistic, and time-bound. Now, Michael Hyatt talks about ACTION. He uses a different acronym. It's ACTION with a double A, and that is that it's action-oriented. So your goal sentence needs to start with a verb, and a pretty strong verb, not be, because, let me think of an example. Be better at golf is not a very strong action type sentence, is it? So think of a strong verb that you can use that will inspire your action. It has to be aligned. So the next A is for aligned. Aligned with your values. Aligned with the time of life you're in. Aligned with, you know, your lifestyle and so on. It has to be challenging. C for challenging. So it's no use setting yourself a goal that's not going to stretch you. If it's not stretching you, it is... it's not really strong enough. It's not enough to get you hungry for it. T is for time bound. So when you write down this goal, it's got to state when. When is the deadline for this goal? Or if it's a habit goal, when is it going to happen? For instance, for my walking goals, I'm just looking for where I've written it down. It is to... You'd think I'd know exactly. to walk at least 10,000 steps daily and 80,000 steps per week. So that's actually more. But it was just... Oh, here it is. Exercise daily with minimum benchmarks of 10,000 steps a day and 80,000 steps a week. So make sure they're very specific in time. And next is I for inspiring. Again, connecting with your why, and you want it to give you joy. And O is for objective. So there's a criteria that's measurable that you can apply to the goal. And then N is for narrow, as specific as possible. So like I said, exercise daily with benchmarks of, and these are the benchmarks that I've set myself. There was a third benchmark, which was to exercise in two other ways each week other than the walking daily. So an example in, I've given you the walking habit goal example, but an example of a life goal that I have had this year, and I must say I'm happy to say I've completed it, was to complete the Duolingo Italian course by October the 1st this year. And I'm in way ahead of schedule, so that's good. It was very specific. I knew the entire course had to be done by October the 1st, and it was very much aligned with my goals for this year because I'm travelling to Italy later this year, which is very nice. So there you go. So that is step three. Write it down and make sure that it is either, you know, using those acronyms, either SMART or ACTION. There you go. And the next step, number four, is a good one. And this really has made a difference for me in the last 2 years. It is to choose one push goal. Now, a push goal is one of the goals that you've already set for yourself. It's not over and above them. It is the one that is going to help the others become reality. It isn't necessarily the most important thing you want to achieve, but it is the one that's going to, almost like dominoes, set the others in motion. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Last year, my push goal was about getting enough sleep. I have been chronically sleep deprived most of my adult life. You know, I used to say my limiting belief at the time was I'm a night person and I just don't do mornings, etc. Well, then I did start to do mornings, but I was still a night person. So I was getting, you know, sometimes less than 6 hours a night's sleep. So not good enough. So my push goal was to get my sleep habits in check. And that really was the catalyst for achieving everything else I wanted to do. Because I was getting the sleep that I needed, I had more energy and more enthusiasm, my mind was sharper, I could achieve the other things more easily. So you can see that that goal really acted as a catalyst for all my other goals last year. And this year, my push goal is the walking one. Because I'm getting fitter, I'm happier, I've got more energy, I can achieve all these other things. So obviously, if you've only chosen one goal, that is the push goal. But if you've got a selection of a few, look at which one is going to be maybe inspiring you to get the others done. Maybe it could be the one that's the most important, but it doesn't have to be. So good luck with your push goal. I think this idea of that push goal and recognising its importance in your life really can help that action get really, you know, get some momentum. So our second code word, this one is netball. They shoot for goals in netball. Okay, so now we're up to step number five. And this is where I want you to share your goals, but selectively. I want you to be really careful how you share your goals and who you share them with. Now, recently I saw somebody I know put on Facebook that, you know, she was some kind of fitness goal that she was going for. And, of course, friends piled on, lots of congratulations, lots of, good on you, you can do it, that kind of chat, and that's great. But studies have shown that announcing your goals to the world and broadly gives your brain the same signal as if you had already achieved your goal. So the danger is that putting it out there tells your brain, oh, well, there you go, you did it. Everyone's patting you on the back, well done. And you can take your foot off the pedal. Of course, the other danger is that life shows us that some people want to tear you down. Now, they might not do it consciously, but they might go, oh, you know, they could say things like, oh, what do you want to lose weight for? You're fine as you are. Go on, have another ice cream. It doesn't matter. So they can undermine your efforts if you're not careful about how you're sharing your goals. So it's important to share your goals with people that you trust, people that you feel will hold you accountable in the most positive way. Nobody wants the police person, you know, that's going to hold your feet to the fire every time. You want somebody who's going to match your spirit with this. So share your goals selectively. Step six is to plan your actions. Now, with a habit goal, for instance, with my daily walking thing, I've got to sit down and figure out, well, when is this walking going to happen? I can't just float around through the day and expect that somehow I'm going to get to my 10,000 steps without some actual planning happening. So get to your diary, move things around, make space for this to actually happen. And this is where a lot of people lose their way with turning goals into action. It is perhaps a little easier with a habit goal, you know, to block out time in your diary for a walk or for meditation or, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. With your life goals, it can be hard because they don't always come in neat half-hour chunks. Sometimes you're going to need to do a whole day's work on something, and then you might wait a week before you have to take another action. And so those can be harder. And we'll get on to how to handle that in a minute. But like I said before, with your life goals, you just want to take the first step. Figure out what the first steps are, and you will figure out the next steps afterwards. And with both your habit and life goals, figure out what success looks like. So with a habit goal, success might look like, I manage to do this every single day. Every single day for a whole week, and it became easier. Or I managed to do it without even thinking about it. It's become an actual habit now. With your life goal, what is it going to look like? That, you know, is there a dollar amount? Is there a time? Is there some measurable way that you're going to be able to celebrate some success later? And then, of course, make it happen. If the diary says this is when you're going to do this particular thing, make sure you do it. And make sure that those come first. Not as afterthoughts, not as if I get time, I will do such and such, because sure enough, days run into weeks of that kind of thing and you haven't managed to move forward on the goal. So step number seven is to track daily and review weekly. Now, to track daily can just take a moment. You know, at the end of the day, before you head off to bed or whatever your evening routine is, have a look at what you're supposed to achieve today and did you get it done? It's a simple matter of having it tick, tick, tick. And if you didn't achieve what you had intended, ask yourself quickly why. Now, when you're tracking daily and reviewing weekly, it's never too long before you sort of can't get away with it, if you know what I mean. If you are reviewing on a weekly basis, you are reminded of what's gone wrong pretty quickly. If you did it once a month, it would slip your mind. It'd be easier to sort of forget, why didn't I go for a walk that day? Why didn't I pick up the phone and call somebody? But, tracking daily really helps a lot. It keeps it front of mind for you. It gives you a little boost when you've made those, you've achieved those things, and it helps solidify your habits. It's particularly good for the habit goals, of course. Now, weekly, I want to put in your diary a time to review your goals. I have found that at the start, when I first started doing this, it would take about 45 minutes. I've got it down less than half an hour now, and I really don't want to make it any smaller time than that. The reason is it's almost a self-care thing for me to sit quietly with my review and just to reflect on what have I achieved, what am I going to achieve, and so on. And to do it really well reinforces this habit of creating good habits. So when you're sitting down to do your weekly review, some of the things that you would want to do is diarise again the next week going out, even 2 weeks. Have a look with your life goals. What are the next steps? And when are you going to be able to fit those in? What do you need? Who do you need to sort of consult? It might be that you need to ask for some help from people. How are you going to do that? You want to create a little plan for the next steps to make sure that things are moving forward. And, of course, you want to review what you did achieve, what you didn't achieve, what you could have done better. And the other thing is to have a no plus or minus carryover policy. I know it might sound counterintuitive. You might think, well, if I didn't walk 10,000 steps today, I better walk 20,000 tomorrow. That's not how I do it. Because before I know, if I missed 2 days in a row, I would have to do 30,000 steps and it'd just be too much and I'd give up. So every single day, there's no plus or minus carryover. If I do 15,000 steps today, I still have to do my 10,000 tomorrow. I don't get off with a $5,000 step credit. The no plus or minus carryover is a good way to be kind to yourself too. Even if you've missed your habit goal for a week, you can still get on board and start again. The weekly review is also a good time to plan your rewards and your celebrations. Now, you want to make sure that you are celebrating, which is step number 8. Step number 8, celebrate. So connecting with your why will help you identify how to make your rewards meaningful. So for me, if I want to be spending time with my grandchild and that's the reason I want to get fit, that would be an awesome way to celebrate. You know, plan a day out for her and I if I've collected, you know, some brownie points on my goals. It for some people it might just be a little fist pump, you know, or put it out on Facebook and say, "Hooray, I've done it!" Actually, right today I noticed Amanda Lacorde, who was the President's Award winner for APO this year, one of them. She took herself to a spa and had a spa day to celebrate that win and to celebrate all the hard work that she put in, obviously, to make that happen. So something like that really would be very, it's really worthwhile putting into place. and having some planned rewards and so on. Now, rewards for life goals, they're easy. You know exactly when you've achieved it, you know, when you've published that book or you've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, you know it. So it's easy to celebrate. The habit goals as you go along, that's harder. So perhaps you want to put some measurables in place, some kind of, you know, if I keep doing this for 2 whole weeks, I promise I can buy myself, you know, a new book or something like that. So there are our eight steps on how to turn goals into action. The first one was check your beliefs. The second one was connect with your why. Number 3, write it down. Number 4 was to choose a push goal. Number 5 is to share selectively. 6 is plan actions. 7 is to track daily and review weekly. And 8 is to celebrate. And I want to share with you some tools that will help you to do all of those things. One tool which is really invaluable, it can take some time to put together, but the effort you put in will be worth it when you look at it for as long as it takes, and that's a vision board. And you can create a vision board in hard copy with cutting out magazine pictures and words and creating your own artwork and so on about what your hopes and dreams are. Or you can do it digitally by, you know, curating some pictures and words and so on into an image that you have perhaps on your desktop, your computer desktop or your phone wallpaper or something like that. So a digital version can be an inspiration as well. And having that there on a regular basis, reminding you, especially about your why, can be really useful. And I also use Pinterest for this. Pinterest is fabulous. So I have a private Pinterest board that's full of inspiration, reward ideas, things that I'm going to do when I've achieved these goals of mine, and so on. Things that maybe some words of wisdom to get me there, those kinds of things. And, of course, a journal is fabulous. Now, you could have this on your bedside table, you know, to reflect in the evening when you're doing your tracking. Journaling is really valuable in this process. And a more sort of less personal tool, but great for tracking, is Evernote. You know, an Excel spreadsheet is also great for tracking and so on. You can get lots of data into it, and I guess it really depends on you and your personality what kind of tool you like. But there's definitely lots of apps for goal setting. I noticed there was one that Brian Tracy had put out. He's the Eat That Frog guy. So lots of apps that you can use. So whether you're a pen and paper type of person or a digital, if you prefer digital, then there's something for you. But definitely your diary is the biggest thing that you can use. Now, when I coach people or mentor them, one of the things I ask them to do is to set aside time after our coaching session to put into place the things we talked about. Because, you know, you might have good intentions of, you know, doing whatever we've discussed, but life takes over. There's always something else to do. Unless the time is blocked out, you can easily let that slip and you haven't taken the action that you thought you would after all. Now, I'm going to tell you about some traps that you could easily fall into. But first, I'm going to give you the third code word, which is basketball. They shoot for goals in basketball as well. Now, traps. There's lots of them. trying to achieve too much. So if you find yourself, you know, maybe you've set 10 goals and you really are not achieving 5 of them, it is okay to put 5 on hold for now and to just hit the pause button on them and say, okay, I can really only dedicate myself to these first 5. And on that too, when you're setting your goals, especially if it's over a 12-month period, try not to set them so that they're all due on the same date. You know, we want a finish date for them, but we want to be really mindful of how we pace ourselves through the year. If every single one of our goals was due on the 1st of December, it would be a big temptation to leave things to the last minute. And then, of course, there's a big rush in November, and who wants that? Another trap is not reviewing regularly, because things get away from you, you lose focus, you know, life takes over, other things get in the way. Not connecting strongly with your why is a big trap. So if you find yourself losing your way, maybe you've started out really well and it's now 6 months later and you've lost your way on that particular goal, have another moment to figure out, well, for a start, is this still something I want to do? And if it is, why? Why? And remind yourself again of the why, and you'll find that that really can help you get back on track. Not planning ahead for the traps, not being aware of what they are, can be a trap in itself. Now, this next one is when people plan to not do something. And this just won't work. It's too negative. For instance, if a client was to say, well, you know, I know that I buy too much stuff, so I am going to not buy stuff when I go out shopping. I am going to not buy anything in the sales. It's really, it's not very motivating. It is way too hard to be inspired by. It is much easier to turn that into a positive, to figure out what you will do instead of buying something in the sales. So perhaps if you're working with a client and they wanted to do, you know, some goal like that, I won't shop this week, it might be better to ask them, well, what will you do instead? And perhaps they'll walk away and call a friend, or walk away and, or maybe they'll only go shopping if they have somebody with them, somebody they trust who won't let them buy stuff. So think about turning a negative, I won't do something, into a what will you do instead? So, yeah, good luck with that. So we have come to our Q&A time. If you want to unmute yourself and then let me know, what do you think about the 8 steps, and can you see yourself doing it? There's crickets.
Yeah, the steps sound good.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions about any of those?
Yeah, I kind of think I err on the side of less rather than more myself, mm-hmm. because it's very easy to beat yourself up if you don't do something.
Yes.
Or realise the effort it takes to actually do the planning, the reviewing, the keeping on top of it.
Yes.
And that's actually almost, you know, another goal in itself. So
it is a full-time thing.
And yeah.
It is, I guess that's where the why has to be strong enough that if you're going to commit to it, it is a full-time commitment. It's not a halfway there. Yeah, so definitely, if there's only the one thing you want to achieve, that's okay. Why not? Any questions about anything that we've got going on tonight? No? Okay. I will tell you what to do with your code words, the three that I mentioned. Email them to me at angela@creatingorder.com.au and I will send you a teleclass, a certificate, I should say, that you can use towards APO accreditation. And I look forward to speaking with you again next time.
Thanks, Angela.
See you.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye.